Good morning, everyone. Sure, good morning. Julle kan maar môre sê. Ons kan praat in die kerk. Dis okay. cool. So this morning, I'm very excited to share what I'm going to share on. And just to give you some context, about two Wednesdays ago, we had a combined community year. So if you were here or not here, I just want to bring context. So we're going into a season where we're going to focus on discipleship. And so on that evening, we shared on what is it to make a disciple. We looked at Matthew 28, that the going, the baptizing, and the teaching. All right. So, and that evening, I used the example of the Tower of Pisa. And now, if you have school kids at school somewhere, they did a project about the Tower of Pisa. And it's famous because it's a leaning tower. And the problem with this tower was it had bad foundation. And because the foundation and the soil was not right, this tower was leaning. And people were trying a lot of things to keep this tower straight. But the problem was at the foundation. It was at bottom. And as they started working on the foundation of this tower, the tower over 20 years actually started auto-correcting. So now you have something that was tried to build straight but was skew, but now it's coming straight. So it's going to be skew again. But somehow this tower is helping itself to come straight. And so what I'm going to share today is one of the things that the foundational things of that keeps us straight in our growth in the Lord, and we need to go and look at the foundations. And so, if you into taking notes and you like a title, my title for today is Sandcastles and Lighthouses. Sandcastles, lighthouses. You can actually do a song about it. Bethany only saw the title and she wanted to be here. She's like, "Oh, that looks cool. I want." What I trust that what I'll be sharing will be actually more cooler than the title. Okay. So I want to read. I end off that evening at the combined community with a scripture. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Luke 6, verse 46 to 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the streams broke against that house, and it could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. In the 1700s, there was a lighthouse. It was called the Eddystone Lighthouse in the English Channel. It was about 20 kilometers away from the coast in Plymouth. I don't even know where it is, but it's somewhere there. It sounds like somewhere in the English Channel. But what's interesting about this story, there was this guy, Winsley. And it seems, what I'm reading about him, it seems like he was quite an arrogant kind of prideful type of person. But he was an architect, and he was going to build this lighthouse that would be able to stand every current, everything, any storm that was thrown at it. And he was so confident about what he built that he wrote on the kind of inscription of the lighthouse, he wrote these words: "Blow, O you winds, rise, O ocean waves, break forth, ye elements, and try my work." That was very foolish words that he said, because 3 years later, a storm came and wiped that whole lighthouse away with them working on it. So what's interesting, this lighthouse was 20 kilometers in sea, so you had to get there by a boat, and it was exposed to the harshest of conditions, but it did not last because it was not well built. Then a few years later, so about 50 years later, there was a guy, John Smeaton, early leader in civil engineering, and he rebuilt this lighthouse. And it says he found a new site and he dug down deep into the solid rock. It says he was a Christian, and on the cornerstone he wrote the words, "Except the Lord built the house, its builder labors in vain." That lighthouse has lasted over 100 years. And then actually the reef under it started getting shaky, so they had to rebuild it. But this guy built something that was phenomenal. And it lasted every storm, everything. Because unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. So at this very moment, without exception, we are all like these two individuals in the scripture that I read in Luke 6. We're either building a house on the rock, which is well built, or we're building a house which is built on the sand. You find yourself either in one of these situations. And the question, and I believe that God actually wants all of us to build something that will last. Build it on the rock and not on sand. Which one are you building? Which one are you building? Are you building a sandcastle? Or are you building a lighthouse? I'll tell you later why I chose lighthouse and not just the normal house. Okay. So just to give you context about Luke 6. So who is Jesus speaking to here? Because he's telling a parable, but he's speaking to a certain group of people. And he's speaking to them and he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" Who is he speaking to? So if, just a tip, when you read the Bible, if you get to a point like that, just read the portion of Scripture before. Then you'll get a clue who is Jesus speaking to. So earlier in chapter 6, it says Jesus actually at that point appointed the 12 disciples. So that's the point where he said, "You guys are going to be the 12." And then he says they came down from the mountain. There was a crowd following him, and he did many miracles and signs amongst them. So there was a crowd of people who he was amongst that saw him doing amazing miracles. And then he started preaching to them, which is known as the Sermon on the Mount. You read about this in Matthew 7. So now he's teaching them about, blessed are those who are poor. Blessed are you. And then he goes on, woe to you, the rich. And then he says, he teaches on how to deal with your enemies. And say, love your enemies. And he teaches about a good tree has good fruit, but a bad tree has bad fruit. So he's teaching them. And then he comes into this. There are certain sayings, things that he's saying. And then he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do what I tell you to do? This scripture is actually an amazing, amazing test of what we are building on. So I'm going to have three sections in this sermon this morning. The one is we're going to look at what's lordship. Secondly, we're going to look at what the sandcastle, and then we're going to look at lighthouses. All right. But first, let's look at lordship. Jesus starts in Luke 6, verse 46. Says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" Do you do what he tells you? Why do you call him Lord, Lord? Lord, I worship you. Lord, you are amazing. Why do you look at those stuff on the internet? Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And I show you certain things. Lord, the word Lord actually means master. He to whom a person or a thing belongs. So like, I belong to you, Lord. You're the owner, the one who is in control. So you're calling me Lord, you're calling me master, the one you belong to, the one who owns you, the one who controls, the one you are following. But when we examine by looking at your actions, it's telling a different story. It's telling a different story. You do not do what I tell you. There was a guy, Henry Ward Beecher. He said, "It is a trial that proves one thing weak and another thing and another strong. A house built on the sand is in fair weather just as good as if it's built on a rock." And the thing is, like, life will show you whether how you are building your life. You can't lie. You can't fool yourself in that. Life will tell you whether you are bold. And Jesus say, if you calling me Lord, the one you are following, the one that is in control of your life, it means you need to follow me. If you call me Lord, it means your life needs to come behind me. It's part of everything. Jock prayed this verse this morning, but I just want to read this scripture. Bible presents the Lordship of God as such an essential aspect in God's nature. In Revelation 19, verse 11, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold," I didn't give the scripture to you, so I'm just going to read it, sorry. Revelation 19, verse 11 to 16. "Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire. On his head are many diadems, and he has the name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury and the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords." Acts 2, verse 36, we see Peter preaching. He just done this amazing preach about the Holy Spirit has came down. And then it says this thing. He preaches this preach and say, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified." What's interesting, the word Christ there is the word that is anointed one, where we get Messiah. And we are so easy close to the Messiah part. Jesus, my Savior. Oh, Jesus, that's the Lamb of God. But he's both Lord and Savior. He's both. Not just your Savior. It goes together. And he needs to be that. Philippians 2 verse 9 to 11. "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that's above every other name, so that every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We even pray, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." See, the two goes together. It's not just Savior. It's Lord. He's Master. I belong to him. I follow him. Because I'm following, I hear what he says and I do what he's asking me to do. I've asked the students to do a drama. So, you know this drama if you've been here a long time. So, it's not an unknown, but it's such a classic. So, we're going to watch a classic today. You know, sometimes when you watch an old movie, we're going to watch a classic. To some of you, it will be new, but we're going to, but it shows something of lordship. So, I want to ask the guys who's going to help me with the drama to come to the front. Thanks, guys. So this is for me such a classic picture of where God is really Lord of our lives. Sometimes we love the idea to be saved from hell and not going to hell, but then we keep God at a place where we're still in control. And when we say that God is Lord, we're actually saying, God, you take it all. You take the keys. And if we're honest with ourselves, every area in our lives that has not been submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you most probably will find a sandcastle that is falling. There will be chaos. You most probably will see that in those areas of your life. But before I run ahead of myself, I want to, there's a quote. They say Hudson Taylor, a British missionary to China, said this. He said, if Jesus is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. If Jesus is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. Is he your Lord? I'm going to ask that question a few times today. So Jesus is explaining to us the two types of individuals that either makes God Lord or not. And we're going to start firstly with the sandcastle one. The one, which is the last one, the lighthouse that we will do later, is the one who heard. It says, everyone who comes to me and hears. So both men came and heard what Jesus was saying. But the one did what Jesus was asking, the other one did not do. So let's look at the one who is not doing what Jesus is asking him to do. It says here, but the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, when Hendrik comes in, why did you choose Hendrik? you must hear who's in the church, you know? When the storms of life comes in, when it breaks against the sandcastle, it says immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And we saw now the ruin of that house was great. Who of you remember building sandcastles when you were younger? Huh? Who of you have toddlers that currently is wanting you to build sandcastles? I mean, you go to the beach and you set out to build the most amazing sandcastle that you've ever built. You dug into that sand and you build something. You build the highest walls that you can, but when those waves come, then there's a lot of fun laughing, building the sandcastle, and then washed away, and then you build again, and it's fun and it's building. And there's a lesson that we can learn about this, that we can laugh and we can have fun. But just as that child, it needs something more solid to keep the fun going. You need something more solid in your life. Oswald Chambers said this. He says, if we build to please ourselves, we are building on the sand. If we build for the love of God, we are building on the rock. There are areas in our lives that are buckling at this moment that is built on sand. And I believe one of the reasons, there could be other reasons, but this might be today, you need to go and check that foundation and see how is it. Because maybe your tower is leaning and you need to go and look at that foundation. Is he Lord of all? Because if he's not Lord of all, he's probably not Lord at all. Your marriage is struggling. Maybe it's not your spouse's fault.
Maybe there are certain things that Jesus has told you and has spoken into your life, but you are not listening. And so it's sand. The storms come. The toilet paper doesn't hang this way around. It hangs this way around. Ah! Or they press the toothbrush in the middle and not at the back. Or your clothes. Who of you can relate? That's not all examples from my house, I just want to say. No, I'm serious. I've been in marriage things. I know these are the type of things that people get stuck on or whatever. If your marriage is struggling, it's probably because you're building on sand. There's a lot that Jesus is saying in his word, in the Bible. If you do this, you'll be building on the rock. You'll be building on him. You need to allow him into that part. Conviction by the Holy Spirit. What you read in the Bible, when last did you actually read your Bible, what he says about your marriage? And just follow him. You call me Lord, Lord. You worship me. But when you get home, he's not Lord at all. And your parenting. If there's chaos and the streams comes and it's falling in this great ruins, it's probably because there are something in that area that needs to be built on Jesus. When you're struggling to overcome an addiction, there's probably something where he has spoken to you, and if only you listen to what he's speaking to you through his own conviction, but also to people in your life, people that's giving perspective, speaking to you, if you listen, you will be building on the rock. I read this amazing quote. Who of you know C.S. Lewis can say some amazing things? No? He's like said some clever things. Listen at this profound saying that he has made. This is profound. There is a lot of nice things you can do with sand, but do not try and build a house on it. It will not last. It will not stand the test of time. It's as simple as that. Don't fool yourselves. It brings me to the last person, which is the lighthouse. Verse 47, it says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the streams broke against the house, it could not shake it because it had been well built." Just a few things I want to highlight. So there's a hearing and there's a doing. This is how this man is looking. And then every time when you hear and do, it's when you are digging deep. I dug a hole on Friday. It's hard work. When last did you dig a hole? Not a sandcastle. I actually had to, like it was, I mean, it came up to a year. As I was dead on Friday evening. I had places that were stiff that I didn't know they were places. It was just like, I was like, come on, this is like, this is sore. And it's hard work. I had to kind of, and it says when we do what Jesus asks us to do, we are digging deep. And sometimes it's not easy. It's not as easy. It's much easier just to throw sand in a bucket and just put it under, like you have to turn it quickly so that it stands. It's much easier. It takes work. Every time when he speaks to you, are you open to his voice? Are you open for him to speak to you? Because he says, if you love me, if you love me with all of your heart, you will do what I ask you to. you will obey my commandments. If you love me with everything. So it's not a, okay, I need to do what you, it's from a place of love. It's from a place of seeing that he's good. Those things that has been shared by Deborah and about believing that God is good. That he, that we don't just do this because we have to. It's good for us. You could see in Debbie's house, it was good for her to trust Jesus. It was good for her to give Jesus everything. For God to be Lord of all. It is good for you to make him Lord of all in your life. So we're digging deep and we're laying a foundation. There's a foundation that's being laid on who? Jesus. He is the rock. Symington, I hope he's pronounced, he dug deep into the rock to build a structure that stood through every test that that the storms have thrown at him. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. If you make him Lord of your life, you're building on the rock. All right. Knowing this, together with the Holy Spirit's help, knowing that if I do what he asked me to do, you see, I'm not bringing a difficult sermon here, but it can change your life forever. It is not complicated. It's listen and obey. There's a song. Huh? All you need to do is listen and obey. I can't even sing it now. But knowing this, together with the Holy Spirit's help, seek out the sayings of Jesus. Seek out what he is speaking to you. When last did you experience him convicting you of sin? And you repented. Some of us has ignored that voice so long that our hearts has become callous and we don't even hear when he speaks to us about things in our lives. And now our ears are closed and we're not hearing, and then we're missing out on the part of building on the rock. I'm hoping that as I'm speaking that Jesus will come and highlight things in our lives that we need to bring under his submission and his lordship. Because then we will be building on the rock. Why did I choose a lighthouse? Because a lighthouse has to really stand in some harsh conditions. It has to stand through that. But it also brings a light. It's not just surviving the circumstances. But there is a light. Max is a blowlig. Blow. If you're old, you will know about that. Oh, so we're not just there to survive the storms. We are there to be the light of this world. And as we stand through the storms of this life, we are getting to be a light. Matthew 5, verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father. It's not faith alone. It's works also. It's following Jesus with everything. And our actions will show whether he's truly Lord of all. So, for the disciple, maybe you've come to Jesus recently, you've given your life to Jesus. How does this apply to you? Or maybe you have been serving Jesus for a very long time, but I mean, you can't put your finger on it, but there's always chaos in your life. There's always a mess. Let's not call him that guy who came in. There's always a mess. There's a breaking down of the peace and chaos in the house. And you're asking, why me? Lord, I pray. Look at the foundation. Get lordship right in your life. To the disciple, go and inspect and examine your foundations today. Ask the Lord to show you, Lord, how is my foundations at this moment in the area of lordship? And to the one, the disciple who is making disciples, this is a very important part of your journey of making somebody to follow Jesus. Not just giving your life to Jesus, but teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, to observe all that I've commanded you. How do we respond to this message? When Peter was preaching in Acts 2, verse 36, he said, "And let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Then the people's response was this following. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. I'm hoping that there will be a cut to the heart and a question, an examining of who, of where we are at this moment. Let's be honest about ourselves. What areas in our lives are not under the lordship of Jesus Christ? And they said to Peter, it says, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Okay, so let's see what Peter told him. And Peter said to them, "Repent." Repent. 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 Examine your life. See the areas that are not under the lordship of Jesus. And the word repent is actually omkir. It's doing a 180 degree turn. And I've been living for the pleasure of myself, trying to preserve myself. He was my savior, but he's not my Lord. And I'm doing an omkir. And I'm saying, Lord, you are truly Lord of my life. There needs to be a moment like that. If you kind of feel like Jesus actually, that part of your life is not under my lordship. That part is not. Then you need to actually today be serious. Say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You're not just my ticket to heaven. You are truly my Lord of all. Then, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we see it goes on to Acts 2 verse 42, where they devoted themselves. It's when a life is completely surrendered to the Lordship, there is it's a giving of myself. Nobody has to tell me to join community, or I'm here today because I want to be here. I follow Jesus because he's everything. I don't wait for the worship team to hype me. I'm going to worship him because he's Lord of my life. I don't wait until somebody speaks. I ask for input in my life because I want to build my life on the rock. I want to build my life on what Jesus has said. And where there's blind spots, I want to line my life in with that. So I don't know if there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus. So I want to give an opportunity, and then I'm going to call the rest of us to respond after that. But if you're sitting here today, maybe I don't see if there's visitors here, but if you've been visiting for a while and you do not know Jesus, I want to tell you, there awaits you the most amazing adventure of your life. I've been serving Jesus for 30 years now, and it's the most amazing thing of my life. Before that, there was a lot of castles that got washed over. But as I started digging deep, and it took some time for actually to Jesus to, I started digging deep, and as I started digging deep, I started to find myself on the rock. And I found that it's actually a lot more stable than me living for my pleasure of myself. Do you know that Jesus loves you with everything? Before you've done anything right, Christ died for you. And we all have a sin problem. We all have a sin problem. And that sin is separating us from God. And Jesus gave his life so that we can be restored in a relationship with him. All we need to do is to confess with our mouth and confess with our mouth that he is the Lord. And believe in our hearts that he is Lord. And then the Bible says you will be saved. So I want to give that moment. If you do not know Jesus, you've never given your life. Peter said, the guy said, what should we do? Repent and be baptized. Come to Jesus. That's how it needs to be. Now I want to tell you, both these structures were in storms. When you come to Jesus, that does not mean that there will not be storms. It just means that you will stand and the other one will not. It's only the rock that keeps you standing. All right. I believe, just as this team is going, like God has called us to make disciples. So we're not just there to just be strong in this time of life. We are there to be called, we are called to be light. A lighthouse that's standing on a hill. And say, Jesus! 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 And there are people in these boats going past. If they don't see your light, they will end up on the rocks. They don't see the light of Jesus in your life. They will end up with their lives in destruction upon the reef. But Jesus has called each one of us to pull our lives on the rock and let we show forth the light of Jesus that shines through our lives. So I pray for us right now, Father, that you will come and that as we listen today, Lord, maybe there are areas in our lives that you have spoken to us about that we actually became aware of. Maybe there are areas that we feel like there's actually a lot of chaos. Maybe there's chaos in your finances. It's maybe because God is not Lord of your finances. So Father, I pray as you identify these things in our lives, Lord, I pray that there will be true repentance and that we will line our lives up and say, God, what are you saying about this area of my life? And that we will align with what you were saying, that we will dig deep to build on the rock. And I pray, Jesus, that you will help us to do that. Holy Spirit, I pray that we will seek out the sayings of Jesus in our lives and help us to be a church that is built on the rock, that cannot be shaken. In Jesus' name, I trust you for that, Lord. Amen. And I just felt to say, like, if you think it's hard now, it's going to get harder. It's going to get harder. We need to toughen up. The only way that we can toughen up is on the rock. Otherwise, we will be washed away. Let's not be those that are washed away when it gets harder. But let us be those who shine the light of Jesus. Amen.